Okay. Yesterday we discussed Achashverosh with his complex. He's making all these parties to impress everyone that he's the king. And these last 7 days, so his party is for every single citizen of Shushan. He wants them to love him and adore him. So he makes a whole party of Lasos Kitzon Ish V'Ish, that every single will that everyone asks for should be done. Now if the Pasuk test, Gam Vashti HaMalka Asasar Mishtei Nashim Beis HaMalchus HaShalom Melech HaChashverosh. Vashti also is making a party for the women. So what's going on here? Party season in Shushan, right? So Achashverosh to make a party. Vashti says, okay, I'm in also. Women, let's all get together, have our own little... Right. What's going on here? This doesn't make any sense. Achashverosh, who's a stable master, we understand he has to impress everyone in Shushan, so he's trying to impress everyone. But Vashti, who does she have to impress? She's the Malka. She's the queen. She's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She doesn't got to impress anyone. Why is she making a party? So it's like this. Vashti is actually a little resentful about all these parties her husband has been making. You see, when Achashverosh first married her, he was very mechabit her. He had a lot of derech etzbah, he deferred to her, and she liked that. He realized, after all, he's not royalty, she's royalty. He married her so that people will say, well, he's married to royalty, he must be royalty. So Achashverosh was aware of that. Vashti, she's the Ikar queen. But all of a sudden, these last 187 days, Vashti notices a change in her husband's attitude. He's starting to get a little arrogant and conceited. He's not treating his wife like a mensch anymore. And Vashti is not happy about that. So this is now the 187th day of all these parties, and Vashti has had it. She's told herself, you know what, Achashverosh, my dear husband, it's time to put you in your place. First of all, I'm going to make a party for the women, not just any place. Beis HaMalchus Asher LaMelech HaChashverosh, you know what that is? In every palace, there's one room which is exclusively designated for the king. Only the king uses that room. He can invite whoever he wants there, he can do whatever he wants there, but no one has any rights to use that room except for the king. So Vashti says, yeah, I'm dafka using that room, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm the monarch here. Achashverosh, you're only married to me. Second of all, she gets an idea that on this day, to put you in your place even further, dear husband, anything you ask me to do, I'm dafka doing the opposite. She gets a mishigas. As we saw yesterday, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his hashgacha works, he puts ideas into people's minds. This too, he's now putting an idea in Vashti's mind. So Bayom HaShvi, the seventh day of the parties in Shushan, Ketayv Lei Vamelech Bayoyin, Omar Lemehuman, Bizisho Harvoyna, Bigsav Abag, Zazes of Acharkas. So Avram gets together these seven Mishorsim, Shiva Sasarisim, Mishorsim Spenei Melech HaChashverosh. These are the seven personal tenants of the king. Mohavias Vashti, Amalkos, Amelech, Bekeser, Malchus. He's ordering Vashti to appear before him. What's the background of this? You see, Vashti, as we just said, she's making her party inside the king's personal room. What she didn't realize, or what she disregarded, whatever, was that room was right next to the Ginas Habison, the garden where Achashverosh and the men were. So Achashverosh and the men are getting drunk. You know, and as we know what happens when Goyim get drunk. And the women, meanwhile, they don't get drunk. What do they do at parties? They schmooze. So the men, those two rooms are right next to each other. The men start to hear the sounds of women talking. Because Vashti waited till that last day to make her party. What do Goyim do when they hear the sound of women talking? They start talking about women. So they started carrying on a whole argument. This is brought down the Gemara. They had a whole argument about who the most prettiest women are in the world. Some say the Parsiyos, some say the Marios, And all of a sudden, the whole argument breaking out. Ahasuerus, from his throne, remember the throne that he had custom designed? So he's, you know, on cloud nine, 187 days when the whole world thinks of me as the king, the greatest, Ahasuerus, we love you! But all of a sudden, he notices this argument breaking out. I made these whole parties, Lassus Kitsanish Fish. So isn't everyone happy? What's going on? He goes over to investigate, finds out there's an argument, who the prettiest women are. Ahasuerus, you know, if you're the melech, this is not a kind of discussion you should really be involved with. But Akash Baruch gives him an idea, and he gives his two cents into this stupid argument. He says, look, I don't know about you guys, Parsios, Madios, I'm married to a Kasdi, a woman, Vashti, she's a Kasdi, which means from Bavel. And she's the most beautiful woman, so as far as I'm concerned, those are the most beautiful women. So the guests, they're all drunk, and they say, Ahasuerus, can you prove it, please? Bring out the queen. Let's take a good look at her and see if she's talking the most beautiful woman. And don't stop, bring her out in a $5 million dress, because that doesn't prove anything. You have to bring her out wearing nothing. Because, quite frankly, you could take a lizard and also make it glamorous with the right wardrobe and the white makeup. Just ask all the guys at Hollywood, right? So, Vashti, we want to see clear if she's talking the most beautiful. That's what's going on here. Ahasuerus, you know, he should have said, you know, chutzpah. That's what she asked me to do. The queen has to come out naked in front of the board. But Ahasuerus, he's a victim of his own idiotic policies. He has to do lasos kitsoinish fish, right? What, if I don't listen to these people, I've just invalidated all these 187 days. So, Lahavi es Vashti Malki orders Vashti to be brought out, lifting a melch bekeser malchus with just a crown in her head, meaning that nothing else. Laharis amin basarmas yof yakitavis marahi. He has to prove to everyone that she's taka as beautiful as he claims. Now, despite the fact that this is an outrageous request, Vashti, believe it or not, under normal circumstances, would have acquiesced. She would have said, fine, she was such a prutza, a nachas to her grand Zayda, Nebuchadnezzar, Shitaka would have come out, and so. But two things. One, as the Gemara says, she pumped, grew a tail, a certain type of growth, pumped on that day, so she couldn't possibly go out like that. Plus, she has her own agenda, remember? She said on that day, whatever Ahasuerus does, I'm going to doctor say the opposite. So, Vatimoin, Hamalko Vashti, Lovoy Bidvar Hamelech, Asher Biyado Sarisim. She refuses. But, that's not all. See, Vashti could have just said, no, I'm not coming, sorry. I have a headache, face us, whatever. But she tells these seven servants a P.S. Wait. I want you to go tell the king, not only am I not coming, but I have a certain message for my husband. You see, my father, if I'm not mistaken, was Belshazzar, the last of the Babylonian kings. He was a true melech. He was able to drink a toast to 1,000 guests, and he drank a cup of wine each time, didn't get drunk. Royalty holds its wine. But you, Ahasuerus, you are a stable master. You have Dalet Kaisis. And you're off your rocker. Make sure you give him that, please, along with my best regards. So they tell the king, and vayiktsayf hamelech ma'oid v'chamosoy bo'araboy. He is angry, and he's festering against, he's getting angrier and angrier. Why? The Vilna Gaon says, you see, usually what happens when a person lets out steam, he gets really angry, roars, and then eventually settles down. But here, the Pasuk is saying the opposite. He gets angry, and he's continually getting even angry and angry. Why? Because he can only tell everyone about the fact that Vashti can't come. And they want to know why she can't come. He can't tell them. What are you supposed to tell them? She called me a stable master. He can't tell them that he's trying to hide the fact that he's a stable master. So that's why, because when you don't have an outlet for your anger, it festers in and he gets angrier and angrier. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kilo telling Ahasuerus, no, Vashti's history, right, Ahasuerus? But Ahasuerus is not ready to get rid of Vashti just yet. You see, he married her, so that shall be his status symbol. He's married to royalty. Achashverosh says, I'm angry, but there's an Eitzah. I'm a politician first and foremost. We have to have an Eitzah, how we could make everything just hunky-dory, and I don't have to get kill out Vashti. So Vayomer HaMelech LaChachomim Yoidei Ha'itim Ki Chein Dvar HaMelech Lefnei Kol Yoidei Das Vaden. So the king calls together a special group of judges, the Yoidei Ha'itim. Who are them? Who are they? There are two types of courts that Achashverosh could have chosen to judge Vashti. A Pashta court would have judged Elpidin. Whatever, I mean, she was rebellious, so she gets Misa, just like anyone else who rebels against the king, Chai Misa. But there's another court, which are Betzim politicians. Politicians who know Itim, meaning they know times and situations, and they're able to manipulate all the facts and turn black into white, and white into red. They'll be Mekel, B'machim, they have to be Machmer, Machmer, they have to be Mekel. They'll twist the truth around and make everything come out, you know, politically correct. Achashverosh does not want to kill Vashti. That's why he's calling these people to make sure that they find a way out of this mess and make sure that Vashti gets punishment but not execution. And furthermore, an important deacon in this passage, Kichein Dvar HaMelech, which means anything that personally affects the king. So the king, it was a rule in Persian law that a king could not paskin anything that directly involved him, which is logical. You know, imagine if the king decided on a whim, he offered this guy's whatever, it's all mayhem, and you know, he can't exist with such a king. So there was a special law that anything directly involving the king had to be given over to Kol Yodei Das Vadin, which means judges. Judges had to judge it for the king. The king couldn't judge it himself. These were the seven judges who are the Yodei Ha'itim, who know they're experts in politics and how to manipulate the truth. That's what Achashverosh calls upon to judge the queen. Shiva, sorry, Parasa Madai, these were ministers of Parasa Madai, Raya Pemelech, they were always in the presence of the king, they knew the king's personality, they knew what he wanted, they knew how to, because they knew how to please the king at all times. Yashvim Rishonim Malchus, and they were the top ministers in the Malchus. Kiddush, Malasos, meaning they were in charge of ruling what to do, Bamalka Vashti, Achashverosh, he gives them a subtle hint. She's the queen of Vashti. Make sure you don't execute her. She's the queen. And after all, see, Achashverosh is trying to downplay now what she did. What did she do? She just disobeyed the word of the king by the Sarisim. Not such a chutzpah. So, the kids said that's Achashverosh's plan. However, there's another new character here we have to be introduced to, who is going to give an interesting Eitzah. That's Memuchan. He is the newly appointed minister. One of the ministers had retired, whatever, expired, whatever. And this Memuchan is now coming in to take his place. A Kodesh Baruch Hu engineered that just at the right time so that Memuchan would now give the Eitzah, which would finish off Vashti. Now, you have to understand, in order to appreciate Meuchan's Eitzah, we have to understand Haman has his own agenda here. What's his agenda? We already discussed how Achashverosh is a stable master. Haman has a history no less glorious. He's a barber, a hairdresser. How in the world does a barber get to be one of the top ministers in the Persian Empire? Because he's married to a woman by the name of Zeresh, who is a Persian woman, a genius, an intellectual, mamish, a Harvard grad, that the equivalent is, and she knows she's politically astute, so she coaches her husband to climb the ladder of society, and pumped all of a sudden, Haman finds himself, mamish, one of the top ministers. You would think that Haman would be grateful to his wife, but Haman is an Amaleki. One of the trademarks of Amalek is that they are ingrateful. They are kaifrei toiv. So Haman Dafka resents Zeresh. He wants to get even with her. He hates her. That's Amalek for you. And furthermore, he had a mishigas. He wanted that Zeresh should speak Amaleki, the Amaleki language, inside the house. But Zeresh says, my husband, Amaleki is for wimps. Here we speak the Persian language. It's what the intellectual Ivy Leaguers speak. Forget your Amaleki. And Stam Zeresh, because she knew she was better than him, she looked down at him, and because of that, Haman was very, very resentful. He hated her. So now he has the opportunity, finally, to get back at Zeresh. And we'll see how in his speech, he has Zeresh in mind. What's Lifnei? Even though he was seventh, and he should have kept quiet until the other six spoke up first, but Chazal say we learn from here, Hakotin Koifetz Barosh, the little one in the crowd, he pipes up first because he wants to be noticed and he wants to impress everyone. You know, that's just an insight in psychology. So here's what Memuchan tells Achashverosh. Loya HaMelech Levadoi of Savashti Amalka. Don't think that Vashti's misdemeanor was only against the king. I mean, you think that this is a matter that personally affects the king, and that's why you can't pass in the Shiloh, you have to give it over to us? No. Ki'al hasorim, ki'al amim, asher b'chol medinos hamelech Achashverosh. In fact, what Vashti did wrong is going to have repercussions throughout the entire kingdom. Why? Ki yetzei dvar hamalka al kol hanashim lahavzis balein beinein. Everyone's going to find out what the queen did. It's going to be in the press. You know, queen disobeys the king. And that's going to create a ripple effect that all wives of the kingdom who look to the queen as their role model, they're going to say, well, the queen, you know, she was rude to her husband. So nothing wrong with me being rude to her. Apparently that's the in thing now. Be rude to your husband. He ordered Vashti to come. She didn't come. So there you go. There's going to be a new precedent. Wives are allowed to be disrespectful to their husbands. But there's another thing, Your Highness. You see, I also happened to overhear when those seven servants came back to tell you that Vashti couldn't come. And I seem to overhear something like a stable master. I caught wind of that comment. And so, v'hayoyim hazeh, on this very day, taimarno sorois poras umodai, all of the wives of the ministers of poras umodai asher shomwes dvar hamalka, you see, they heard Vashti loud and clear the way she said no to those seven misharsim. L'chol sorei hamelech, she heard what Vashti had said, and you know what's going to happen, Achashverosh. Oh boy, the rumor mill is going to be in full swing. Ukidai bizoyin v'kotzef. Oh, and that's going to be a very big disgrace for the king. So Achashverosh is now on board. See, Memuchan is cleverly getting Achashverosh on board. But as we'll see, Haman's main focus is on his own life, Zeresh. Imal Melech Toiv, here's what I propose. If it pleases the king, first of all, Yetze Dvar Malchus Milafonov V'kosev B'dosei Fadus Umadav L'yavar. The first thing I suggest, Achashverosh, is we're going to make an amendment to the Persian constitution. Till now, you were not able to paskin shilas that directly affected the king. As I just demonstrated, anything that affects the king in the long run affects everyone in the Malchus. So really, you should paskin every shila that affects even you. That's one thing. Second of all, Asher lo savoy Vashti lefnei HaMelech Achashverosh. We should make a decree. Vashti is no longer allowed to come before the king. You look in Rashi, what he's saying effectively is, we'll get rid of her. We'll kill her. But we're not going to word it in terms of killing her. We're going to word it in terms of Mida Kineged Mida. She didn't want to come to the king when he ordered her to. Now she's not going to be able to come to the king. So Mamela, a queen who's no longer allowed to appear before the king, will eventually disappear from society, right? And that will be the end of Vashti. Haman is wording it this way for two reasons. One, because he heard the diuk from Achashverosh that Achashverosh didn't want to kill her, so he's not suggesting that you kill her, just that she shouldn't come to anymore. Second of all, Haman has his own life in mind. So if we make a decree that Vashti cannot come before the king, that is something he can use against his own wife, Zeresh. You see, the king is now banishing the queen. So Haman might not be able to kill his wife, you know, if she's disrespectful to him, but he could now make a veiled threat. Oh, you see what he did to the queen? And so, too, he also will banish his wife if she doesn't step into line. That's all Haman needed. That's what Haman wanted to make sure that, to get back at his Zeresh. Umalchuso yitein amelech l'ruuso ha'toy v'mimenu. Who will be the new queen? We'll point a new queen who will be both a miucheses, that's ruuso, ha'toy v'mimenu, she'll be prettier. That's very important, as we'll see later. Haman is telling us, because that's what a sar, that makes sense, a sar would suggest. You need two aspects for a queen, not she's only beautiful, she also has to be a miucheses. You can't just take a mamzeres, who's beautiful, make her the queen. Oh. The effects of this decree will be felt throughout the Malchus. It's very significant, the idea that the king can now pass in Shiloh directly affecting him. And all women will take this as a sign that they better give due respect to their husbands. Let me go though that katan, it doesn't matter, big or small. Apparently Haman physically was a short person and Zeresh was huge. So he was very intimidated by Zeresh. So he wanted to make sure that this got in, that it doesn't matter how big, small the guy, the husband is, the wife has to pay homage to him. The next pasuk, by the way, is a tremendous ness. Vayitav hadavar b'nei ha-melech basarim. This advice that Haman gave was tremendously pleasing to the king and the sarim. Why is it pleasing to the sarim? You know what Haman has just said? That all these sarim who previously had been passing shilas for the king, they're all fired because Ahasuerus cannot pass in shilas for himself. And they're all dancing, Ashreinu, right, Yechi Adeinu, that's unbelievable. This is Mamash Nes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making sure that Haman's decree is going into effect. So the king does as Haman says. Now, the real effect of this decree that Haman is the amendment to the Persian constitution is going to be felt later in the story, but we have to say it now because it's just so geschmack. Haman, you know what you just did? You dug your own grave. Shkaya Haman. Later on, we're going to see there's going to be Harvaina, who's going to show the king, Gam Hinei Ha'etz, you know, the pasuk with the strange truck, the Balkyra's nightmare. And you see that gallows? Your Highness, Haman was going to kill your good friend Mordechai, you know, the one who saved your life. And L'chaira, it's because Haman himself is plotting against you. So the first one he wants to get rid of is the loyal informer of the king. Oh, so Ahasuerus says two words, Teluhu Olav, and it's all over for Haman. Wait a minute, what do you mean it's all over for Haman? It's a matter of personally affecting the king. Get the tribunal. And you know what would happen? Haman, oh, that tribunal would have been allies of Haman, Haman would still be alive and well, and there would be no Ness. But now that Haman made an amendment to the Constitution that says the king could paskin his own shilas, so the king, all he has to say is true love, and it's curtains for Haman. Haman, and this is the geschmack. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the way he pays back Rishayim. He makes sure they themselves are the instruments of their own downfall. That's the geschmack HaShkach we see from here. Vayishlach svarim al komadinos hamelech al medino medino kiksava v'avam kilshono. So letters are sent throughout the kingdom to every province in every language. Lios kalish soirer beveisoi. Hear ye. Everyone make sure that the husband is the master of the house. Umadaber kiloshen ama. That's Haman's addendum to this decree. Because Haman, remember, he said, Zeresh, I want you to speak Amaleki. No, we're not speaking Amaleki. So Haman makes sure he adds this words. Everyone has to speak Kiloshen Amaleki, like the language of the husband. Now this decree will end here, but first, this decree ends up also being a big ness. The Gemara says, if it weren't for this letter, Lo Nishtairu Misainen Shel Yisrael Sardapolit, I think it's Lashon Gemara, there would be no Jews left if it weren't for this decree. You know why? There's going to be a second decree later, a more serious one. Lahashmid la'arug la'abed, it's kol ha'yehudim. Now, the decree was made in the month of Nisan, but it wasn't supposed to be carried out until 11 months later in the month of Adar. Do you think the anti-Semites in the world would have really waited much, 11 months? If we hold of Zeriza Makdim Lemitzis, you can bet so do they. And they would have wiped out the Jews in seconds flat. But now that you have this decree, you know, Achashverosh, there's a screw loose. What do you mean? What do you have to tell me that the husband is the master of the house? When was the husband ever the master of his house? Do you need a royal decree for this? So they determined that Achashverosh is, you know, a little unstable. Stable master, unstable, right? Oh. Therefore, if he says Adar, so it's not Kedai to take risks here. We're going to have to wait it out. In the meantime, of course, the Ness was able to happen. So that's why, because of this first decree, that was another big Ness in the whole puzzle. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we'll see more Nisim, how Esther was appointed the queen.